This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. We love waking up to look at the sunrise and all of those beautiful things that's out there. And as I told you, and some of you may have heard the special announcement, the ad we ran, we were hoping to get Mr. Ernest Lau, the managing director, or he would be the chair of the City County of Honolulu Board of Water Supply, managing editor, engineer, and...
Manager and chief engineer.
Chief engineer, okay. Yeah, manager and chief engineer, trying to figure out which title is properly. And then I also have Miss Tracy Burgo, who is the communications specialist, or... Good morning to you. I had a button here. Anyway, thank you guys for coming in and talking. And the listeners out there, I'm just trying to transition here from the earlier show. So what I'd like to do is hold off on some phone calls, and they are receiving phone calls later in the show. And feel free to call in, ask your questions if you have problems. Tracy, Ms. Burgo, has offered to take your number and look directly into what your problems are. So this is the time for, if you have problems, do call in and see if you can get them worked out. But thank you guys for coming in. I wanted to start off with, you know, there's many problems there that is problematic with the water meters, the billing. There are customers that are complaining that they're getting bills that are not accurate. They're overcharges, some say they're being estimated, and I am one of those people that personally being estimated, my bill is being estimated for 4 months, when in fact we're told it only goes 30, 35, 40 days. But anyway, there's many problems out there, and a lot of it comes, my information comes from emails, phone calls, and believe it or not, many employees in the Board of Water Supply. They're not looking to destroy the Board of Water Supply. They're looking to make things better. And as many of them say, we're proud of what we have built. And we'll talk just briefly about the resolution where Board of Water Supply is a semi-autonomous agency. And you can speak to that later on. And there was an effort by the City Council to take control, bring it under their umbrella, and the Board of Water Supply directors and what have you made some, in fact, you opposed that move too. And one of the things, not in your defense, but there was a 2006 audit. You just arrived, Ms. Lau, when?
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. I guess my sound is not working. I can hear myself.
It is.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and be able to speak to your listeners out there on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just started with the Board of Water Supply in February of 2012. So I'm very new on the job. It's been a little over a year now being with the board, and I know Carol's talked about different challenges that we face. Yes, we do face challenges, and I guess you wanted to go over the 2006 audit.
Just briefly, and let me just hit some of the points, and then that can hopefully lay a foundation. I'm not attempting to exonerate you. It's just to reflect the facts, and I think some of the onus would be on you if the practice continues.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. Actually, I was wondering if it's okay to do a short introductory statement, because I know our customers are dealing with estimated bill issues. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Let me first extend my apologies to all our customers for any inconvenience or confusion that's been caused by our efforts to convert to monthly billing and implement a new billing system or customer information system. Our goal is to provide residents with clean, safe, reliable, and affordable water for generations to come. We are committed to improving our service to our customers, and as of today, we have started sending letters to customers with multiple months of estimated bills, along with adjusted bills for their review. We have also have and will be adding additional staff for the reviewing of the recalculated bills, so we don't run into the situation where we have this large backlog right now, mm-hmm. estimated bills. Mm-hmm. We'll also be adding additional staff to our call center, and I really understand the frustration of our customers when it takes a while just to get through to talk to one of our customer service reps. We'll need to actually staff additional people there. So we're in the process, and interviews are scheduled to begin this week. Beginning tomorrow, we'll also be adjusting our callback feature to accommodate more customer calls so that customers can leave their number and actually get a call back from our customer service reps.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Tracy, you have anything you want to share right now?
No, basically okay. We just do appreciate the patience of our customers as we're implementing this new monthly bill and new system. We realize that a lot of times it is an inconvenience to them to have to wait, and we're trying to find ways to lessen that wait time.
Mm-hmm. So, again, now I know I watched your appearance on TV, and that was... A comment there that some of the ratepayers will probably have their fees reduced, and because you'll go back and check the
right.
numbers, and then some would possibly should anticipate a higher charge that you would end up revisiting this and charging. Here's my common sense question, and it may sound dumb to many, but what are you going to rely on to go back? And what are you basing these numbers on? And if they exist now, why didn't you use them when they originally were taken? Could you explain how is it that you're going to actually go back now and get a box of numbers or some numbers from somewhere that we're to trust that these are good numbers and these are numbers that we can trust you. Where's the transparency? And I'll just three or four questions. So if that's the case, explain to us, if you're the listeners out there, why there was it an oversight that we use bogus numbers to get to where we are? And the third question would be, what I went away with in that piece you did on KI TV was that for a layman, it sent me a message. Those of you that complain, you better watch out, because if you do, we're going to revisit your... But these are the things that were expressed with me, with my listeners and call up, and they were very adamant about that. They felt that, gee, where's the incentive to call in, because now I might be faced with a higher charge and others may not be. So... that comment sounds as if it only served the Board of Water Supply to discourage 50% of the people. You know, some people are very nervous and scary. But again, if you could, the original question is, what numbers are you relying on now that you couldn't rely on in the original? And this was a system that was supposed to be reliable. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Carol. You'll have to probably revisit the questions as we go along.
Okay, yeah, I know. I'm long-winded, but long question.
Yeah, okay, that was a multi-part question there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the numbers that we rely upon is actual meter readings taken from the meter itself.
Mm-hmm.
There are two issues that are going on. Number one is that the meters continue to measure how much water is flowing through the meter.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges more recently that I face as I've started with the Board of Water Supply is actually the system to get a read from the meter remotely through a radio read system.
Mm-hmm.
But the meters continue to measure water usage going through the meters. So when we get an actual start read and an actual end read, we know how much water flowed through the meter for each customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the estimated bills are what the system, CC&B, automatically calculates based on their algorithm, which I think goes back to looking at usage for that period about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and trying to use those numbers. There'll be some customers that we actually overbill that will be processing either a credit, or if they would like to get a refund, we can process a refund for overpayments.
Mm-hmm.
But for customers that underpay, like if the estimated bills are way too low, but their actual usage on average was higher, and we're looking at the actual reads, two reads, and the beginning read and the end read,
mm-hmm.
That we'll have to actually now go back and ask the customers to pay for the water they actually use.
Okay. And you think they should accept that and trust that? I mean, are you concerned that just the way it comes off?
Part of it is, you know, this question of transparency, kind mm-hmm. of going to your transparency question.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestled with the question of whether or not trying to get the backlog of estimated bills out and get it recalculated and get that reflected on a recent bill for
mm-hmm.
each customer. But what we're doing actually is going back for each month there was an estimated bill, doing a recalculated bill, showing that bill to the customer. So when they get the letter from us, they'll actually have multiple, if it's multiple months, like in your case, 4 months. And I'm really sorry about that.
It's okay. It's
4 months, you'll have actually, should have four bills. So Carol, if you don't get four recalculated bills, along with the letter that we're sending out now, to give the customer some background information on what was done, how
mm-hmm.
the adjustments were made.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they call in, they'll have more information on hand to be able to discuss it with the customer service reps. I want to stress that customers that were charged too little and will have to make up the payment for water actually used through the meter, we are not going to penalize them. There'll be no interest costs on the unpaid balance, and we can enter into a payment arrangement for what they can afford to pay back over time.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to have that transparency, so we want the customer to actually have that information in front of them while they make the call to us.
Question on these billings, and by the way, some acronyms you use, CC&B, Customer Care and Billing.
Yeah, that's a new system that replaced the old CAS or CAS system.
Right.
Which was a 20-year-old system that mm-hmm. was developed in-house.
Is that the AMR?
No.
Automatic meter reader?
Yeah, and I'm really sorry. You know, being in the Board of Water Supply, mm-hmm. these acronyms are used all the time.
Right.
But for the sake of our customers, basically CAS and CC&B are what we call customer information systems.
Mm-hmm.
They do much more than just issue the bills, print and calculate the bills. They keep the customer's usage data, and they also tie into our maintenance management computer systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really more of a broader enterprise application. So CAS is customer account system, accounting system, CC&B customer care and billing.
Mm-hmm. So if that sounds good, and it's supposed to catch and bill and accuracy, why then are we faced with some 30,000 letters you're going to have to send out? I mean, that you understand the...
Yeah.
It's not against you. It's been in place for a while. It's with reckless disregard for public transparency. And you mentioned one thing, the history. So can the ratepayers ask you, speaking in transparency as a measure, rather than just taking and open the mailbox up and sticking a check back in the mail and going away, can they obtain, as a due process, due diligence, you will provide them with a history? Because the computer actually records that, and so I would think each customer should be able to look at their entire history, because that is exactly what you're going to rely on
right.
to adjust the numbers. So would it not be fair, and I'm just speaking from the many questions that I've had asked, is it possible, or what would be the procedure that they... We need a check and balance. Right now it's the city council and the Board of Water Supply, and the ratepayer opens the box up, as someone described, and a cloud and the money just rains down. So can you speak to that?
Yes, thank you. What we've done recently, I think it was latter part of last year, mm-hmm. is actually make, I think it's PDF versions of each bill available online for the customer. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back about 12 months at least online, so if they would like to view their history by actually seeing all their bills for, let's say, the last 12 months, mm-hmm. They can actually go online right now, get a username and password, and be able to view their individual water bills for the last 12 months online. Ultimately, because CC&V, moving from CAS to CC&V, mm-hmm. is sort of moving from the using the IBM PC with text-based commands and text windows to moving to Windows and the new environment, and be able to work on the internet and connect to the internet to allow customers more direct access to their account information. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we want to make it easier so the customer can, through a web portal, secure web portal, be able to view their own customer information, and also note that payments have been made mm-hmm. More real-time, as opposed right now, it's not mm-hmm. real-time. It's a 2 or 3 day delay.
Let me ask you this. We're going to make adjustments. Can you share with us, the listeners out there, when I get my water bill, I have a charge for sewage also in there.
Yes, it is a combined water and sewer bill.
Right.
Not just a pure water bill, and that's for about 86% of our 166,000 right. customers.
So the question is, there's going to be adjustment. Did the ratepayer pay the bill that you're going to adjust? Did the ratepayer pay money based on the rate of the amount of water they were using to sewage? What's the relationship?
I'm not completely familiar with the sewer rate structure. That's a question for the Department of Environmental Services. Mm-hmm. But if I could finish.
Well, go ahead.
Some of it, I think, is tied to a water usage.
Right.
Some of it is also a sewer base charge that
right.
we have. Sort of similar to our very controversial $7, what do you call it, service charge, service fee. Ours is about $7, $7.70 currently per month. So the adjustments will be made to the total bill amount. We're working with E&D to try to ensure that their sewer base charge, and I should really let E&D speak for themselves, but trying to make sure that the sewer base charge is only done once a month.
Right, okay, but you've charged people, let's just an example, 10,000 gallons. And they actually only use 5,000. So there's 5,000 gallons that they paid also for the discharge, the disposal through the sewage that they really never use.
So the adjustment would actually be both sides.
Yeah. So what guarantee is that? And then again, this is nothing to do with you, but it strikes me as kind of strange that when we discuss this subject, the first thing we're told, well, that's E&V's, but aren't you concerned that instead of being out there in the front line of fire, that E&V should be standing there too? Because myself have had difficult time, and I'm pretty tactful at getting answers, but it seems like the cat and mouse game. When we speak to Board of Water Supply, well, that's E&V. It's like, Mommy, can I go to the movies? Ask your daddy. Daddy, can I go to the movies? Ask your mama. You know. And it's very childlike, the reason I use that scenario, that analogy. It's wrong because there are people out there, senior citizens, who are getting hammered with their overdrafts because they, too, were paying through automatic deposit, but they were overcharged. What are you going to do to address that, and is it just going to be left up to the individual senior citizen or the low-income person or anybody to discover this problem and then contact you and then wade their way back up that?
Actually, Carol, and you bring up a good point about the senior citizens, mm-hmm. and that's a group that they're on fixed income. Some of mm-hmm. them are only on Social Security and struggling with a rising cost. Mm-hmm. It's something that, from the Board of Water Supply standpoint, and I don't want to say that's a cat-and-mouse game with E&D on that side, but
They're not ever availing themselves to the public. See.
But I am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I appreciate.
And I appreciate this opportunity. But what I would like to say is that we are going to be looking at rates that are going to be able to support those in greatest need. So mm-hmm. that's something we have to take a serious look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hawaii's population, Oahu's population is aging. Yet the cost of services, and water is such an essential service, you can't live without it. You can live without electricity or telephone service, but you can't live without water. And everybody needs water. So it is mm-hmm. something that we're going to have to take a very serious look at to see if we can put some rates there based on a person's need
mm-hmm.
to try to provide some assistance.
But go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know you always have these multi-part questions, so that I have to keep track of them. But
yeah. Oh, I can help you.
We do work closely with ENV. Mm-hmm. Our customer service reps and our IT staff talk to ENV probably every week. So this issue of the adjustments, we're also in discussion with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm soliciting from you is that an utterance of, you know what, you're right. If there's two parties involved and two parties are getting the goods, the monies, and we're divvying them up, the second party should avail itself. We shouldn't have to talk through you. And when there is, if I see you on KITV, this is an issue that is about water and the disposal of water and the delivery of water. So what I'm soliciting is to say maybe you need to go back and tell the ENV, because you see it's kind of tricky and it's convenient and not at you now and do go away understanding. I must try to be as factual and truthful as I possibly can be with the facts that I have. If they are getting part of the money in the building, then they should be standing abreast of you. We shouldn't have to contact you to get a third hand or fourth hand delivery of an explanation. Then they tell you that you're semi-autonomous, and they tell us, oh, well, the Board of Water Supply is semi-autonomous. But the reality is you're not semi-autonomous because they have their fingers in your package of goods, your monies. For example, $48 million to take out of your budget to buy the Honolulu'i wastewater treatment plant that was a requirement by the consent decree of the violation, the Clean Water Act violation. Is that an act of semi-autonomous when the city can somehow, for whatever reason, we don't know because the public was never presented an opportunity to object, to be informed openly. All we know is that in this 2006 audit, it says that $48 million. Then we move to the George A. Burns facility, medical center. Another, I think, $13.5 million to purchase. $13.5 million to purchase the Ever Shaft from the estate of James Campbell. So 48 plus 13.5. Imagine that. So then we move on, and then there was another $4.5 million absorbing future liabilities and obligating Board of Water Supply to provide the estate with a 3 million gallon water per day. More than was officially allocated by the state. So then we move on, and there was in this audit found. And my question is going to be, if we have this kind of behavior, is it about the lack of ability to monitor the water and measure the water, or is it a lack of the ability for Board of Water Supply to act autonomously and free of the city and county's influence while they're claiming you're semi-autonomous, but they really are taking your money. And then in turn, at the end of the faucet is yourself and me sitting here quibbling over a water bill that's not accurate when the reality is. So this thing also talked about the amount of money spent in water main breaks, you know. So, again, it's a statement and a question. So my question, why don't you bring demand as a courtesy to the ratepayer to flesh this thing out, because I believe in this process You just arrived, and I've been looking at all the background on this. I suspect that there's fraud. I believe with the hiring, and we'll ask some questions about that, the people that are running it now were running it before, and they will talk about the bonuses that they received because they did a good job, but the job was never complete. Anyway, go ahead. I threw a lot at you.
You did throw a lot at me.
But, I mean, you should have command of some of this. I don't expect, if you don't have, you can come back and give me an answer.
I'd be glad to come
okay.
back. First of all, I'd like to point out that, and I think you're referring to the 2006 City mm-hmm. Auditor Report.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 7 years, almost 7 years ago now. And I clearly wasn't there at the Board of Water Supply. I know you're asking me questions. I wish I could answer them. I can't answer your questions because to understand the context of what happened in history, you would have been part of that history.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm not making any excuses.
Oh, I
wasn't part of that history. All I have to do right now is deal with what we're challenged with today
mm-hmm.
and look at where we want to head forward. Going forward to address the problems and challenges of the Board of Water Supply.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. I'm going to go back and speak to E&B about standing a little bit more with us,
mm-hmm.
especially when we go on to public venues, so we can answer questions between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I see your point there. Questions about Honouli, the John A. Burns School of Medicine project and the others. I'm sorry, I'm really not presently able to answer those questions.
No, it's not. The only question that I was asking is that you just arrived, and this is a seven-year-old, but it also started in 1989. So, as I said earlier in my opening, I'm not going to burden you or anticipate or expect from you answers, but I would like to hear from you that, well, as a manager, we can't sever history and say, well, we'll put that back behind us and then we'll move and we'll move forward, because that would be unintelligible. Because, let's back up. It's about people being harmed. This is a reality. So the machine is moving. That's okay. We can't. But if there are people being harmed and estimates occurring, and we have the accountability in the commercial customer care office. For example, let me just jumping. If I were to call today, and again, I want you to go away with this isn't an attack on you, because you just arrived here, and what I've been reading, unless you really a wizard of all things to go back and find out what is happening. But be receptive when a person like me, or avail yourself to listen to the public. They're not just complaining about their money. They're saying, for example, I call the customer care office, which you've just been appointed as head.
No.
I thought someone had told me you just
No,
you
I'm head up. Of the communications
okay.
office.
Okay. So let's just say I go up and I find my bill and I call customer care. And I've tried this and I can't get through. I'm put on hold and what have you. And like the other thousands of people, some say it had even taken 30 days to get a human being to call them back. So I thought, let me just see what could contribute to that lack of reachability. And you know Susan Uesubi?
Yes.
She is, what's her capacity?
She is the administrator of our customer care division.
Right. So if I were to call Susan Uesugi, it'd be like the snowman trying to find his way back to Alaska. It'd be hard. You can't, no feet soon. He's just going to be difficult. So I thought, let me just check to see what factors could contribute to this delinquency and tardiness in response. So I pull up on, I just type her name in, Uesugi, and I find that she is the Hawaii section of the AWWA. And on there, she's advertised, it's saying it's a form for breakfast meeting 2010. This is just one. There are others. And other Board of Water Supply people, too. 2010 annual conference and expositions in Chicago. And it's down here. She gives her Board of Water Supply email. She gives her Board of Water Supply at 748-596, her direct number, saying, if you have any questions, please contact me. Now, why is it that the rest of the world has direct access to her to make breakfast plans at a breakfast for a non-government function. AWA is not government. It's a non-profit or private organization of people, engineers, and what have you. Why are they able to, or anyone that attending that meeting, able to call her directly and make and ask for spam and eggs, but the ratepayer can't get through for 30 days? And I'm being a little
facetious.
I'm being factual. I could have said it worse, but I'm being a little polite.
Thank you.
Okay.
If I could respond to that.
Go ahead.
When I started work with the Board of Water Supply last year, I noticed in the telephone book, you know, this is part of, I think, our challenges, inheriting that in the phone book right now, if you look at Board of Water Supply and the listing, I think there's only like two numbers there. So what we did in the interim until a new phone book is published is to actually put down the numbers of all the divisions in the Board of Water Supply. So it's available on our website.
Mm-hmm.
The website address is www.boardofwatersupply.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes also my office's phone number, my deputy's office's mm-hmm. phone number. So if customers needed to reach people within the Board of Water Supply, instead of just having to call the 748-5000 number, mm-hmm. they actually have now the phone numbers and a listing of all the divisions, division offices, division heads in the Board of Water Supply.
In addition to the online phone numbers, we also encourage our customers to email us mm-hmm. at the Board of Water Supply, and that email is contactus@hbws.org. HBWS being short for Honolulu Board of Water Supply. Mm-hmm. We may not be able to get to your email right away, but when we do, we will email you a response saying that we are following up on your inquiry or concern. Mm-hmm. And if you don't hear from us within a reasonable amount of time, feel free to contact us again.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I'd like to give you this, and I appreciate you providing those numbers, but I would ask that you take this and address it, and we shouldn't be able to see any more usage of Board of Water Supply's resources for activities that are not Board of Water Supply. And I know AWWA gives them advice, but let her do this on her private email, because this is in her private capacity. Especially, now if you tell me that zero wait or stalling or difficulty in the taxpayer or the ratepayers getting through, then I say we can tolerate this. But we can't tolerate it. It's a zero tolerance. And I'll leave this with you. And one of the questions I have, and I'd asked this question months ago, Zoom Info. And again, does the ethics, city ethics rules apply to Board of Water Supply?
Of course, Carol, you know that.
No, I don't know. Because
really?
The way the things are being operated, it appears that they don't. So I'm just asking.
No, we're subject to the same city ethics.
Okay, so here's one, and I wrote you guys questions, and no one ever addressed it. So it was on Zoom Info. She is showing herself. It reflects that she is a trustee under background employment history, a trustee of Bowers and Kubota Consulting. So here you are. If I please let you have that. Let me see that for a minute.
Oh, sure.
So that document, see, I wrote the agency and everybody just kissed it off. But again, I wouldn't be so bothered at face value, but I'm getting so many calls of people saying, it's actually hurting me. And when they're talking about overdrafts, and again, let's understand, this isn't about you. It's about once, I think you're the fix-it man, if I may, and I believe
you're right,
in you.
You're right, I'm here to actually get to BWS on a good course.
Right, and I think this is the part of the process.
And that's my job, that's my focus.
And I think you can do it, but again, first of all, your first step coming here and talking with us and being available for the public, that's a positive step. But, you know, this kind of behavior, there should be zero tolerance, not in my opinion, but when the ratepayers are impeded or impacted by this, we can't tolerate this, because when the final statement is made, it's about our money. It's about the hardship that this program places on those unsuspecting people their bills are going to be readjusted. But how does that person recover from the overdrafts that triggered a chain reaction of having to pay late fees on another overdraft and overdraft? So you see the difficulty. This isn't just some innocuous or nebulous behavior. This is what I'm trying to speak to. It's not your fault, but it becomes your...
the solution or the correction is my responsibility.
Right.
Which is the job where the manager mm-hmm. and the department. The Bowers and Kubota, and I apologize if we didn't get back to you. Was this an anonymous complaint?
No, I sent questions.
Okay.
And
I thought we responded to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you did, and I talked to Susan, and she goes, well, they just collect that stuff and put up there themselves.
Well, we actually checked with the company.
Right.
Also, Bowers mm-hmm. and Kubota, mm-hmm. which is a local engineering consultant
right.
firm.
Right, right.
And they... do not have Susan Uesugi as a on their board of trustees.
Well, you know, if you know ethics, the rules of ethics, it's not just simply the violation of an ethics rule. It's the appearance. And imagine now, try to explain that to the little old lady who just had an overdraft.
Carol mm-hmm. We were not. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Mm-hmm. We were not aware of what is this website?
ZoomInfo.com
had put on their website.
Right.
We don't have any control over what ZoomInfo places.
I understand that, but
when you brought it to light, I don't know if we followed up and contacted them to point out that this is a error. I believe Bowers and Kubota was going to contact them and actually say that this is incorrect information on the website.
Or Susan Uesugi. I spoke with her and I recommended, why don't you just call up if it's not true? I mean, let's face it. Who goes around, the internet doesn't go around pegging you. And then if you look at Yokota, there's people in other members of your organization. Let's just say that the best thing would be to do, at a minimum, if it's so easy and if it's so easy that it just showed up on there, it should be just as easy for you folks to say, the appearance is unethical. So therefore, when we're charging people at the faucet, excessive amounts of money and we can't track it and now we're tracking back, it's a new day. It's
our chargers are based on the cost of providing that water service to the customers. Mm-hmm. Thank you for pointing out about
right.
this. We will go back this week and contact ZoomInfo
right.
and tell them that information is incorrect.
Right.
And we'll also remind Susan that she should do that personally on her own.
Right, and Kubota isn't just an innocuous entity. It has relationships with the city and major contracts.
Yeah,
Honolulu. So I beg to and solicit from you that we're not, I'm not broadside, blindsiding you with this. I'm just simply saying, show us the new day. There's a light out there, and let's look to that light of a positive moving forward. She shouldn't be using her emails, and if, when the public can't get through to her, then someone in Tennessee trying to make a reservation for pancakes for an organization, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Carol. And again, I want to point out that all of our phone numbers are on our website at borderwatersupply.com, including Susan's mm-hmm. division number,
mm-hmm.
and my office number and my deputy's office number. Are
okay.
all posted because of the problems in the phone book having only two numbers.
Okay.
Thank you for your point. The other thing that we're doing that's a part of a new day is that, I can't say how the previous managers did this, but I am availing myself to go out into the community to mm-hmm. talk to people face to face. So
one more question.
Thank you for this invitation. This is part of the effort to be available and being willing to answer mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. and face difficult questions from the community.
Yeah, and you incorporate these, and eventually we have a better system. It's not going to be perfect.
Well, it's a steps forward to improve.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other question, and you know I mentioned and the call is their call. We'll open it up here shortly and let
okay.
you finish it. But
thank you.
Real quickly here, another thing, example. Nothing. This does not speak to you, but I raise it... because it's under your purview now, this thing as manager, there was this opposition to resolution 1225, and a number of people opposed it, to include yourself, and that was where the city would take the autonomous aspect, and they would take it under their umbrella, remove you from the semi-autonomous status. Ernest, here's something that caught my eye. Now, one of the board members is Mahealani Cipher.
Cipher.
Also, a.k.a. known as Denise DaCosta. Now, why would an individual on the board, and I'm see, this is when the eerie feelings get, there's something suspect going on. Why would she, in opposition to this bill, she writes as in one letter as Mahealani Cipher, and in opposition to it, and under the guise of the Oahu Council of Association of Hawaiian Civic Union, it's clubs, civic clubs. And then in that same bill that is proposed, she writes another letter just as Denise M.C. DaCosta, not identifying herself as a board of directors or board of the water board board member. Why would one go to that length if we have nothing to hide, and if we're going to be transparent, why is it that the board members are participating in such a mindset? Why? Why would she do this and never disclosing that she was a board member, a Board of Water Supply board member? So could you look at that and ask these questions, because it's deceptive at minimum, and it raises some flags as to is there something so good about that one would be compelled to go to file like this?
Carol, I don't know the answer to your question.
Alrighty.
I'll share this with Mahealani.
Yeah.
I know that she has legally changed her name to Mahealani Cipher.
I understand, but when you're sending two letters for the same bill and same testimony, but never identifying that you're a board member in any of them, I don't, you know.
Thank you, sir, for pointing that out. I will discuss that with her.
Please.
And ask that question.
Yeah, she changed her name, but for what purpose?
This was actually, I think, testimony submitted probably last year.
February. Hers were, was, yeah,
February,
but see. See, that's why I say, while you just arrived.
I started February 1st.
But life was taking place, and you're trying to solve problems that are triggered by actions or inactions that took place back then. So we can't turn a blind eye to it. I'm not lecturing you, but when one tell me, well, I just started, and I'm going, no. This is your baby. You got adopted, and it got some bad behaviors, and we need to send it to school and train it or do something, right?
Yes, there's always room for improvement here. And, you know, it's like the hand of cards that was dealt with me. I need to do the best I can to make it something that is actually in the favor of the water customers.
Right, and if they're paying...
So like the recycled water facility, for example, that facility, the cost that went into that was spent years ago, maybe seven years plus. But the benefits of reusing recycled water is still a good thing.
I'm with you,
we need to save our fresh water for drinking purposes. That's the best use of that water, not to put it on the ground to irrigate crops or landscaping or golf courses.
I agree with you, but this ain't about recycling water. This is about bad behavior. Saving the whole thing was $80.4 million so far, and I haven't gotten to the rest of the numbers, was taken out of your budget to pay for city programs and city projects. So these are things, when they say you're semi-autonomous, then you need to tell them, if we're semi-autonomous, leave our money alone and let us get back to fixing the water mains and putting new pipe and infrastructure.
Carol, I'm with you on that, because you're right. We have a fiduciary responsibility to use the money for our water systems to keep the water flowing, high quality, safe drinking water, reliably and forever for our customers. I'd like to point out to our customers, if they don't realize that the Board of Water Supply gets no property tax revenue, exists only on the fees it charges for water to its customers.
Real quick, this question here, I'm going to entertain it, and it will in the next hour. Hold on. Caller, thank you for holding on. You have a comment or question real quick?
Yeah, I got a question. Concerning the website and phone numbers, are they accessible for ADA for deaf and blind people if we go on the website?
You're coming. It's the website. Can you give the website information again? You're broken up there.
I'm sorry. The website information, the Board of Water Supply's website is www.boardofwatersupply.com. And customers can also feel free to email us at contact us, that's one word, at hbws.org.
And telephone numbers for the desk if you have to contact.
Okay, caller. Well, thank you.
No. I'm sorry. You had one more question, and you're breaking up here.
For people who are hard of hearing, can't hear, is there a key, the desk for people who have deafness?
That's a very good question. If you could give us your phone number, we'll get back to you on that. Because the TTY,
right.
The TTY type of service for those that are hearing impaired.
Okay. So, Carla, you want to give your phone number or want to email it to me or something?
I'll email it to you, Cal.
Real quick then. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ernie.
You have any closing before we go to the next hour?
I want to stress that I apologize to our customers for the problems with the water bills. And it shouldn't be this way.
Mm-hmm.
We have way too many estimated bills in the system. Right now we're getting... we were having challenges with the AMR, which is the meter reading portion of the water meter,
mm-hmm.
the radio read portion. But right now we're achieving actual reads over 98% of our meters, of our 166,000 meters.
Mm-hmm.
But to do the correction on the estimated bill requires a manual review by my staff to look at it and actually do a recalculation of an appropriate amount for the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll take time. Just this week, I believe they've gone through over 2,000 of these estimated bills. We hope to be able to accomplish the reduction of the backlog within 1 to 2 months. Well, I want to let the callers know, though, however, there will always be a certain percentage of estimated bills because it's a mechanical electrical device, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
we can't get a read.
And they may fail, or somebody
or
may park a car over.
Park a car, bury it. Sometimes the meter gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We do have investigators that we send out to follow up with the customers, and they work very hard.
How many investigators do you have that are really on staff, up and mobile and working? And is it a sufficient number to address these number of complaints you get daily?
Right now, I don't have the number offhand. I think it's about 15 or so investigators,
mm-hmm.
Four full-time on leak and waste,
mm-hmm.
high-low water bills. The investigators also go out and locate underground utilities, border water supply pipelines for the one call.
Mm-hmm.
When other utilities want to dig up the road, we locate our lines to protect it. They also help respond with main breaks.
Mm-hmm.
They go out at any hour of the day or night, any day of the week, to work with our field crews to locate utilities so we can do the main break repairs. So we are looking at capacity,
mm-hmm.
and we will be adding, like I said earlier, more customer service reps to try to reduce this wait time. It really is not an acceptable level right now.
Mm-hmm.
People are just waiting too long, and it frustrates me too when I'm put on hold for half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour or more. So we want to work. We're actively working to try to resolve that.
Mm-hmm.
We get about 1,000 calls a day to our call center, but I want to encourage customers. They also have another option. In addition to emailing us at contactus@hbws.org, they can also go online to our website. There are online forms that they can complete and mail in to us, and we'll follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So like activation of termination of service or other things. I'd also like to encourage people. We actually have cashiers in the lobby of the Board of Water Supply in Baritania Street.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come in 7:45 to 4:30 to the Board of Water Supply Monday through Friday, except for holidays, and be able to do their transactions. The customer service reps are there waiting to serve them. They don't have to wait in queue on the telephone for hours.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, which is kind of going back to the old, good old-fashioned way, is please, also, if you can't get through to the telephone, you don't have internet access, write us a letter. Our address is 630 South Baritania Street, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96843.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Mr. Ernest Lau of the Board of Water Supply, and this is Tracy Burgo. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for the
the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. For the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and we wanted to remind you the views and opinions expressed here is solely those of Carol Cox, the Carol Cox Show, and not that of the KWAI. And again, if you care to have a radio show, I think you should find your way down here to the Chinese Culture Plaza at 100 Baratania, North Baratania. And some super deals here. You should come in. You can say what you want and how you want to say it, as long as you're within the confines of the FCC. But anyway, don't hesitate to come down, and you should explore it. I know many of you have lots to talk about, or put together a hui and put together a show and do some talking. I mean, I'm tired of seeing people on the street and they go, I was going to call you and talk about that. But anyway, my guest is Mr. Ernest Lau and Ms. Tracy Burgo. Mr. Lau is the manager and chief engineer of the Board of Water Supply, Honolulu Board of Water Supply. And Ms. Burgo is the chief, the information officer. I have a call, and I'm going to just open that up right now for it. Caller, thank you for waiting. You have a comment or question for Mr. Lau? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead if you have a question real quick.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I have several questions.
Okay, directed at Mr. Lau, to Mr.
Lau. Yeah, Mr. Lau, we understand you've been in water supply for a year now.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please tell us, when did you find out about this overbilling problem?
It was probably about a month ago.
A month ago? Okay. Let me just tell you something. We have neighbors and friends. They've been billing almost $1,000 a month for the last 18 months.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay. And then my second question.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you happen to let us know, inform us now, where in Oahu, or areas in Oahu town, has the most billing problems?
Ma'am, I don't know the breakdown of where the estimated bills, you know, how it's distributed across Oahu. We can get that information to you.
Can you tell us, like, a brief one? Is it mostly in Aea, Kailua, Waipio? Ever be? Just give us something. I'm sure you know the amount of calls you're getting. I'm sure you're getting like 5 calls a day. Out of that 5 calls, where are they at?
Ma'am, I don't know. I'm really sorry. I should have anticipated this question.
Send an email to carol@carolcox.com, or if you want to give him your phone number, he can get back to you later.
The thing is, that's a part of accountability in managers.
I understand. We're trying to offer you access where we can further ask those questions. So you have contact information you want to share?
Yeah, I will share it to you, but I got a couple more.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
I went to New Hampshire.
Okay.
And it's about an hour away from Boston Logan Airport. And we went to a town hall meeting with Mr. Barry Usagawa from Board of Water Supply at the Kapolei Neighborhood Board town hall meeting a week ago.
Okay.
He had mentioned that Board of Water Supply is looking to start a system of running a water from the well. And that's what they have in New Hampshire. People are not paying the water. It's free. What they do is every homeowner, they buy a tank, they put the tank next to their homes, and they tap into the water well, and the city doesn't charge them zero. Okay?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And with this amount of money that's being taken away from locals here in Oahu, could you imagine if Board of Water Supply had a separate account of billions of dollars taking this money for the last 18 months? We need to know that, because it's a hardship to live in this state for the last 2 to 3 years already. And I'm sure this manager, Mr. Lau, sounds like Hawaiian Electric CEO.
No, I
hope you're not related.
We
were afraid for you to be related, because people are not being fair, not getting a fair amount of charges here. We've been overcharged. And the last thing is we should produce a town hall. It's your responsibility, because you have no competition. And this is what we worried about. Board of Water Supply has no competition. And imagine if you have a competition, you're going to have to close your shop. People will run away, do business with you. And that's what happened with Hawaiian Tail. When they spun off with Verizon, people left Hawaiian Tail, but now they're making lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a turnaround. You have to give people a chance to compete with you.
Okay.
And right now, you can even answer a simple question, sir. Yeah. We respect you, but the respect might be taken away from you.
Yeah.
People might say, just get rid of you eventually.
Carla, can you give us your contact information real quick? We will move on to
Send you an email, Carol. I'm in your website right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
for calling. Aloha. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question for Mr. Lau?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I have a couple of questions. Both questions are directed.
Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question for Mr. Lau?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I have a couple of questions. Both questions are directed to Chief Engineer Lau.
Yes, sir.
And Communications Director Virgo. The billing charge from July 1st, 2013, which is $7.70 now, will go up to $9.26 by July 1st, 2015. I'd like to know why. And the other thing is this. Looking at your quantity charge for water usage by a single-family residential unit, if they use 30,000 gallons, I guess, is that per month? Right now, it's going to go from, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be like $7.94. And what is it now? And why is it? Why would it go up that much? And there's disparity here. I'm looking at agriculture. By July 1st, 2015. I think their billing fee for water usage for over 13,000 gallons is $1.89. Seems like it's going down, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. And also, what about other entities like hotels, condominiums? Do you have a special rate for those people? And can you answer that, and then I'll give you the second question.
Thank you, sir. Okay, going back to your first question on the billing charge. A billing charge actually pays for the ability to provide the services in our customer care division, finance, our IT divisions, the staff that support the customer service.
and also includes things like our new customer information, our new billing system, and also includes cost to maintain the meters and the AMR automated meter reading system. So we projected forward over the next few years, and we anticipate the costs continue to rise. And I know that some customers are concerned that prior to this, there didn't seem to be an increase in needs in the AMR system, but the system is about 10 to 13 years old right now, and we need to invest more money in to keep it running.
Yes, sir. Not to talk over you, what I'm concerned about is that you seem like you're penalizing. This is just from what I'm looking at, my personal perception is that you're penalizing single-family residents and charging them more than actually you're charging, say, agriculture or hotels. My question to you is, do you have a different rate for hotels and other volume users?
That would be under the right now in the existing rate structure, which, like you correctly pointed out, that's in effect of July 1st, 2015. Commercial, like hotels, would be under the non-residential customer category.
And, but still, are they being charged less?
They are being charged looks like a flat rate for all usage, rather than a increasing block rate or block rate structure. The more you use,
sure.
The more you pay.
Now, again, not to be disrespectful and talk over you, but if you look at the number of single-family residents in the state, I'm pretty sure it outnumbers, volume-wise, the number of users, the number of, hotels and stuff that you give me flat rates to. Again, it seems like you're penalizing, single families.
I observed the same thing when I looked at the rate structure, that right now the majority of our customers are residential. I think about 160,000. 6,000 are non-residential, which includes the agriculture users and the commercial users. But you're right. For the residential customers, it's a rate structure that encourages water conservation. But for the non-residential customer, it's a flat rate on water usage, for water usage. So I agree with you, sir. That is going to be looked at very carefully at our next rate study, which we hope to get started in the near future.
Can I have one other question?
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I'm having a senior moment here, but you folks, you manage something like over 2,100 miles of pipeline, I guess on Oahu, right?
Yes, sir.
94 potable water sources. You also manage 90 booster pumps and 170 reservoirs. Do these entities, the reservoirs, the booster pumps, and the potable water sources, do they belong to the city, and you just manage them for the city?
No, they're actually owned by the Board of Water Supply. Some of the property we are on are, based on property that's owned by the city, but we have right to use the property for water supply purposes. Some of the property we own ourselves. Some of the property is owned by the state, but we have an executive order to use the property. All the improvements are the property of the Board of Water Supply, the tanks, or the reservoirs, which are tanks, the pumping stations, the wells, the tunnel sources, the pipelines.
So the Board of Water Supply owns these, basically, but who does the repair work? Are there city workers that do that?
No, that's the Board of Water Supply employees that do the repair work. Some of it.
Are they civil servants?
Yes, sir.
So then, if they're civil servants, then wouldn't that mean that they're tied in some kind of with the city?
Although we're semi-autonomous, we're under a appointed Board of Water Supply, which is approved by the council. The employees of the Board of Water Supply are all part of the city and county of Honolulu.
Yeah, it seems like chop suey. You know, this is what's confusing, I think, to the consumer. When they're looking at their sewer bills and they're looking at, just in general, various user fees, so not only from the Board of Water Supply, but from other city entities. Everything's going up and nothing seems to be done. We've got water mains that are breaking all over the place, and yet and still you folks, say that it's less than, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not taking, not you personally, but out of generally, the Board of Water Supply is saying that it's less than other cities, but you don't compare yourself to other cities. And I may be mistaken with that, but not to take up too much of your time, what I really want to say personally, I think there's something very systemically wrong with the way this, the Board of Water Supply is run and the way it's connected to the city. You know, it leaves a lot to be desired, and there is no full disclosure, it seems like, you know, because, you know, you say you own these reservoirs and the booster pumps and whatever for the most part, but yet still, it's, you know, it's more or less the assumption is that you manage them. You know, people, there are a lot of things that people aren't aware of, and I think there would be, the public would be served if there was a more full disclosure as to how you folks are interacting with the city, you know, in a legal, whatever you call it, corporate kind of way, because this semi-autonomous thing kind of started back in 1929, you know, it's out of date. It's just like saying the founding fathers, the Constitution, you know, that's out of date. Yeah. You know, this stuff needs to be revisited and revised for the sake of the general public.
Thank you,
because,
sir.
I mean, hey, you're killing us.
Okay.
You know, I think there's something systemically wrong with the whole thing, and that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate your time, and I hope I haven't alienated anyone or been rude. I don't mean to be rude.
No.
But these questions have to be asked, just like the last caller.
That's
too much,
you know,
humbug,
Paul,
as far as trying to figure out what's going on there.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, caller. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment or question for Mr. Lau?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You have a comment?
Oh, I'm on the air. Okay. Mr. Lau.
Yes, sir.
I'm the one that's kind of stirred things up here. My name's Carl Dix. Built for 80,000 gallons of water. The next month is 72,000 gallons. The month before the 80 was 75,000. And I've been consistently overbilled since I moved into this house in 2011. And my documentation of reading the meter every single day proves that I only use like 14,000 to 15,000 gallons a month.
Okay.
And do you know anything about this net assets account?
Mr. Dix, can you repeat that last? I think I missed it.
Yeah, what do you know about the net assets account?
Net assets account.
The account that has $1.3 billion for sewer repairs. And nobody will use it?
Sir, I'm not familiar with that. That's not under the control of the Board of Water Supply. Sir, going back to your service, I understand that we did do an adjustment for your service, which is actually under somebody else's name.
Yes, that's true. Why is it not a full adjustment?
Sir, I'd have to look into it. And is the meter still giving you problems? We would be glad to send an investigator out to check on the meter.
Well, actually, the meter's not giving me trouble. The meter's actually telling the truth. I got problems elsewhere.
Okay, it's on the meter reading side of it, yeah.
It's on the billing side, actually. Nobody's reading the meter.
Okay, sir, we'll follow up. I think we have your address, your account information, and we'll follow up this week on it.
So you say you've only known about this for like a month since I started, since I gave documented proof that my meter was being overread. I don't believe it is. I believe it's been over 3 years that the Board of Water has been aware of overbilling issues.
I think there's always been estimated bills in the past, too. I don't believe, and yet I can't say it because, you know, Carol's correctly pointing out I wasn't around 3 years ago with the Board of Water Supply, but there's always a certain percentage of estimated bills, although I don't think it's been this large. And part of the challenge is it's, you know, this conversion from bi-monthly to monthly bills.
Mm-hmm.
The timelines are much shorter. And getting enough staff to actually do the review of each individual bill to get it corrected.
Now, I have a question for you. Speaking of that, hold on, Carl.
Yes.
And I sent you these questions. And if you could, regarding authorization to use computer estimates in place of actual readings, can you furnish in writing the specific rule or just tell us now the specific administrative order authorizing the use of computer estimates?
Thank you.
Was it by the City Council, Board of Water Supply, and where did the public get to participate? And then when was it actually enacted, and by what means was it enacted?
Thank you, Carol. The authority to do estimated bills. Oh, excuse me.
No problem.
I was just kind of choking on something, but The authority to do estimated bills is based on our rules and regulations. They're part of the administrative rules that were adopted by the Board of Water Supply through the Chapter 91 process of Hawaii revised statutes. I think they were adopted back in effective 1976.
76, okay.
And as part of that process, anytime an administrative rule, which is typically any city or state agency, would propose administrative rules, they go through a public hearing process. They do a public notice, put the rule out for people to look at, and give the opportunity for the public to comment on the rules before they're adopted.
Who enforces the permissibility, or who is there any oversight once you've gotten the right to do this? Is the barn door just open and there's a stampede and no control? When does the public get to, is there checks and balances to make sure that you don't raise the prices or you don't estimate it get out of hand like now? Is there anything in place?
The raising of prices or the rates, or the changes of the fees on the rates, has to be done through this public hearing process.
Right.
And it's actually adopted as rules by the Board of Water Supply.
But on the estimates?
Is
there any oversight by the public? I mean, do you give an annual report, a quarterly report to the city council or whom, or is it just in-house?
Sir, there used to be a what they call the annual report and statistical summary of the Board of Water Supply that, for whatever reason, was stopped a number of years ago. We're looking to try to bring some of those reports back and actually make it available for the public.
Well, why don't you put that in place first before you raise the go through this process? And why don't you, just out of goodness, because water is pure and it's good for the soul, why don't you just start from scratch rather than burden the public with the failings of the agency, its inability to give accurate billing, and now you got to go back and make an estimate? Is there any possibility that you, I mean, imagine, you're raising the bill, you had such dramatic changes, drastic measures, and then all of a sudden on the heel of that, you're asking the public to digest this estimate problem, computer estimate problem, and so you've thrown the entire kitchen sink at them. And then we're supposed to run to the mailbox and go, yes, the bill is here. Great water God has spoken. I better pay up if I can. Is there?
Sir,
where's the compassion?
Carol, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, I apologize to all our customers for the situation with the estimated bills. It is not where we want to be. Right. And we're working hard to resolve this and correct it within 1 to 2 months. That'll bring that number way down. And because we're getting actual reads from our meters, about over 98% of the 166,000 meters, this number of estimated bills should keep down in at a relatively low percentage. And we'll continue to monitor and keep on top of it. I'm committed to providing adequate resources to continue that effort.
But again,
and then the in terms of rule proposals, actually would have to be they'd have to be maybe a proposed revision to the rules.
Well, let me back up. We're not trying to rewrite the rules.
Right.
It's the enforcement of them. So you're going to do this estimate. You discovered in the last couple of months, as you say, but I have documentation. For example, laid out the AMRs. You had that system in place of the CAS.
Right.
It was failing, and you know it was failing. And it wasn't just yesterday or 2 months. Let me finish. And so more than 2 months go backwards. So if you discover AMR, when did you discover that, not that a car was blocking the waves of the radio signal, when did Board of Water Supply discover that the AMRs or the CAS was failing? Not 2 months ago.
Yeah, sir, I don't know. That probably predates my time.
Well, let's lay it out logically, because you don't know. So this is a system that you were relying on. It was built in. So it would take, because this is semi-autonomous and near government work, it would take a long while to first you discover it, then you try to fix it. Well, you fail to fix it, so not you, the agency, Board of Water Supply, and so they decide, we'll go out and get a CCB and bring that and put it in the system. and that's going to do the checks and balances. Well, it took you at least a year to make that assessment, a minimum of a year, then to make that assessment, and then go shopping for a software that you could rely on that was compatible, and that would have taken you another year. So it would have taken 3 or 4 years. So here's the problem. While I can't lay the burden on you, and I won't attempt to, you've adopted this, and you know, it's like marrying. I do, so help me God. And well, here we go. These problems existed a long time ago, and the CCNB is catching up with the problem, quantifying them, and it's been more than 2 months. It's been more. My bill is 4 months. So here's what we need to do. I'll ask again. Why don't you consider holding off on the new billing cycle, the new billing charges, and then go back? Because was this just done in-house, or did you have to go before the PUC? Did you have to go before the city council to enact this new charge, or you just...
The rates were adopted by the board has, under the city charter, the authority to implement rates,
right,
and adopt rates. It needs to go through a public process, which is under the Hawaii Revised Statutes, Chapter 91, again,
right,
and do a public, get public comment and mm-hmm. make a decision in a public, open arena, mm-hmm. transparently. So mm-hmm. the fees, changes to the rates that were adopted back in November 2011 would require another public hearing process, mm-hmm. Chapter 91 process, to make those adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
We are wrestling with it right now. CCNB, yes, was started many years ago, the project, and I'm here at the implementation end of that project.
But it was, so that means if you, unless they're just so free with money over there, someone is lying. It had to have gone. You don't go and buy a new system.
I'm sure they went through a process to go.
Right,
and,
which means.
And they would have to go through a formal procurement, comply with the state procurement.
But not the procurement I'm interested in. I'm interested in a declaration that, yes, we were having estimates because it was broken a long time ago. Case in point, the batteries. The system, the AMR, had the batteries. So if you went and placed 60,000 batteries in the last, as you described on one of your TV pieces, it says they were lasting 10 years of batteries. Well, they don't last 10 years, and we know that the batteries were faulty, and we engage years back in estimating. Not your problem, but the problem, it becomes your problem when you say that it was just 2 months. Then you say, trust us, and we'll pay the bill, and we're going to raise it. So what I'm asking, pleading with you, is send a message out there to the community. You have the right to raise the fees. You have a right to send it, change the policy of sending month to month. You also have the moral responsibility. If this many fragments, and it's so badly broken, and we haven't fleshed out, been truthful with the public, you and I have a moral obligation to approach the city council, your board. But if the board, as I've pointed out, is so conflicted, Mahel Lani Cipher, and then we have Teresa McMurdo, who worked for James Campbell, who, you know, the whole thing, and again, transparency might be probably a small answer. The reality is that we need to be truthful with the public. I still believe, and this is not directed at you, based on the facts that I have, I believe there's fraud and purposely perpetrated by, for example, the audit showed this too. They hire people that put in the AMR. Worked for the BWS. They then turn around and they get bonuses up to $63,000 each. And Susan Matsuyoshi, the director of school board now, was one of the members of that, got a nice donation or a bonus. So here we are. We have that going on. And nobody's taking responsibility. Yep. And so you had to have, not you, they know. And so when Cipher and Denise Costa write a letter, don't tell who she is, and oppose oversight, are going, taking away the autonomous statement or the status that you have. What I see here is, and then if you look, Mahel Lani gets to nominate someone to come on the board. And it's like, I wash your hand, you wash my hand, and what have you. We need to go back and Do you have the capability or capacity of firing people up at that capacity? And these consultants that were rehired, that were responsible for installing the faulty one. Now, you have a Brooks Ewan there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he was there before.
He's now a civil servant.
Right.
Of the board. He's an employee of the Board of Water Supply.
Still yet?
Yes.
And then, did he retire at one time?
No.
And then do you have other Sheeta?
Yes, we have recently hired Pete Sheeta on a temporary contract
right.
basis.
Right. He worked there.
He worked at the Board of Water
and then
Supply.
You rehired him.
Right.
Why? His stuff didn't work. I mean, we're stuck at the...
Sir, Carol,
I
could finish.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you have a lot to say.
But it's factual. It's factual. I have a lot to say, but don't just characterize it as a lot to say. It's factual.
Okay. We may disagree on the facts a little bit here.
You didn't hire Keith Sheeta again?
We did hire Keith Sheeta.
Okay.
He's serving as a budget analyst for us.
Why hire him? He didn't. The stuff is broken. Why? He didn't perform
anything. And it's a temporary contract because what we're looking at standing up is a management, a budget office within the Board of Water Supply that will evaluate programs, do the review and due diligence on budget requests from the different divisions in the Board of Water Supply and help put together the budget that we propose to the Water Board every year. So Keith is back, not to work on AMR, but to help us get started on building this budget office. He will probably be leaving in the very near future, and we're going to be hiring permanent staff to man that office. So that... The issues on rate of bonuses goes back, I think, about 2005, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is about 8 years ago that they gave out bonuses to executives. I don't believe in bonuses for executives. That's not a good thing, not in the public arena. But it was done at the time and the board sanctioned. And I'm not going to, that was part of the past history. I know you want me to go back and investigate. If you have actual instances where you feel, Carol, that there is fraud, please give me the information, and I'd be glad to look into it and if appropriate, investigate it for fraud.
Well, I would think that you would... Hold on, Carl.
Okay.
I would submit this, that in these aspects that you should incorporate into your before you take you come in February of last year and then you move forward. You say, well, I know in that room back there behind that closed door is a lot of bad things, but for right now we're going to move forward, and moving forward is we're going to deal with the computer estimates, and we're going to deal with the water rates, we're going to deal with the water bills. And someone is saying to you, but check in that room, because that room may have an explanation. Behind that closed door is some hanky-panky that went on that might explain and offer explanations why you don't have to. Maybe you need to put in place, cut the bonuses. And there were 38 employees, not just executives, that got bonuses. Who were they? Don't know. So if people are getting, and they got bonuses for installing a system that didn't prove itself. It failed. There were people that got a bonus that at Copley Holly in the audit showed $1.1 million to create a program, a business, to go to Asia and teach them about clean water. They were going to make profit. It made $10,000. So if you're going to say, well, I'm going to ignore that and let's move forward, the moving forward is taxing the taxpayer. Carl, go ahead, Mr. Lau.
Yes, I'd like to get an answer to a question. In 2012, the meter readings were only accurate 1 month, or one billing cycle. And one out of 11 billing cycles, the meter reading was almost identical to what I have been tracking. And they go anywhere from $30,000 per month to $40,000 per month. $80,000 per month, and nobody notices this. Nobody thinks something's out of whack. In the billing period, 11/16/2012, 31,000 gallons of water, 63 days. That's roughly 15,000 per month. And it goes from 15,000 to 64,000 the next billing cycle, and then 141,000 for the next, and 154, 130. And then it switches to the monthly billing, and we got 63,000 gallons per month, 57,075. One reading out of 11 is accurate. How can nobody notice that? And in, I believe it was November of 2011, I called and, you know, voiced my concern, and the guy on the phone, I didn't get his name, but we're, at that time they were figuring a rough daily usage of 2,000 gallons a day for a single family. It's a duplex, but 2,000 gallons a day. And he said, oh no, that's about right. And I, since I'd never paid a water bill here, I didn't know, so I just kind of let it ride. And then now we're up to 2,500 gallons a day when our actual usage is almost always under 14,000. How can nobody notice this? Except for 1 month it was accurate, and then it went back up. This is fraud. And you guys knew it was going on. If you didn't know it was going on, you're very derelict in duty. Because somebody's, if there's a leak, I could have been leaking all this water. Because it's not feasible for this house to use that much water. So somebody had to know, or they didn't know and they didn't care.
Thank you, Mr. Dix.
And I can't get a refund of my money. In the last 15 months, I've been overbilled by $5,000. And the Board of Water Supply, I don't know the exact number, offered a $1,500 credit. That's ridiculous. That is fraudulent, it's extortion, and it's, this department has fallen completely to pieces, and you've betrayed the public trust.
Thank you, Mr. Dix. I'm going to look again at your account information and talk to my staff about it. So we'll be getting back to you on this. Thank you.
Okay.
Sir.
And you have his number. You guys.
Yeah, you live in Waipahu, I believe.
Right. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
You had something you were going to say there.
Again, I want to reiterate that. I'm sorry. Carol's reminding me to talk into the microphone, and
it
I
happens.
Apologize for.
I do have one thing to say, Mr. Lau.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You're standing up front. You're taking the beating.
Where's the mayor?
Where's the city council? They're involved in this also, and none of them will stand up. You've got at least the spirit and the courage to stand up and take it.
Thank you, sir. I will follow up on your account. And I think it's under another individual you're renting currently?
Yes, he's 80 years old, and he couldn't do it. So I took it upon myself because he's in a wheelchair. He can't even get his own mail, and, you know, he's paying these outrageous water bills. And I said, this is crazy.
Mr. Dix, Tracy and I will be looking at your account tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All I'm asking for is to be treated fair, and we deserve a refund of the money, because if we were $20 short, you'd shut off our water.
Mr. Dix, can you, I believe we might have your phone number, but if you don't, please could you email it to Carol, and we'll be sure to contact you.
Make sure you send that number, or you can email it to your...
contact us at HPO.
Yeah, I have his information. And once again, thank you for at least coming out and addressing the issue.
Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Okay.
If nobody else in the city council or the mayor or anybody else in an oversight, they're all hiding.
Yeah. Thank you.
You might want to call the city and ask them what will they do to give you a refund on your sewage bill.
The city and mayor have not. Well, Ron Minor responded. He said you got to deal with Board of Water Supply. The mayor,
actually,
no response. No other city council, no response.
Councilman Minor did pass us that message. And,
yes.
He's good for that. We're not looking for people to carry messages. We can carry our own messages. We need somebody to represent as constituents, and that's nothing to do with you. So he didn't get any warm, fuzzy feeling from that. No, it was just, it's neglecting his responsibilities to the constituents. You don't pass the message on. We're talking about.
There's one other guy that did stand up and did get this to the forefront, and that was Mike Gabbard. And he did make some calls, but anybody on the city council, well, Ron Minor, lame excuse for a response, but where's the mayor? Where's our mayor of Honolulu City and County? He's supposed to represent and support and defend the people, isn't he?
At least afford some means of addressing these problems or create a forum.
The mayor
is he on vacation somewhere?
sir, I just want to assure you that the mayor, well, as soon as he receives these complaints from customers, Carol's pointing to the microphone again, I apologize. The mayor does immediately forward those complaints to us to follow up on. And we take it very seriously when we get it from the mayor's office or even the city council.
Is the mayor himself doing?
Sir, I don't know that, but I will be talking to the mayor. He would like to talk to me about these billing problems.
Okay.
All right, sir. Well, Carl, thank you.
Okay, thank you,
all
Carol.
Right. 524-1080 is the number if you want to speak with Mr. Lau, the manager, chief of engineer for Boda Water Supply. You have some...
I have a senior moment, okay. Carol. Why don't we just keep on moving?
Well, we're both old. Well, you say you're about retired. I just turned 60, and I can't remember. What was it? Anyway, I was asking earlier, were there any job hiring freezes in these questions that I sent you since 2001 by Boda Water Supply or issued by Boda Water Supply?
The specifics I'm not aware of, but I've heard from my staff there was a hiring freeze by a previous manager.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how long it took, but what it created was a large number of vacancies that we're now struggling to fill.
Here's a question, and if you can't get it, you got my questions in writing. What were the staff levels for all Boda Water Supply departments prior to 2000 or when the AMR went online?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I just want to kind of put things in perspective because I started my career as a young engineer with the Board of Water Supply back in 1980. Seems like a long time ago. I kind of missed the 80s. But I worked there from 1980 to 95 and then left the Board of Water Supply and came back at 2012, 17 years or so later.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1980, when I was at the Board of Water Supply, there was about 620 employees within the Board of Water Supply. Today, in 2013, with our temporary workers, because we have a number of temporary contract workers, we have about 541 employees. And yet the miles of pipeline in the water system, which was about 1,500 or so, it's now about 2,100 miles, it grew by one-third during that time. Number of customer accounts also grew by about a third, from about 125,000 to 166,000. But the number of employees within the Board of Water Supply over that same timetable actually went down about 12%.
This is where the problem introduces itself. When an entity like the Board of Water Supply goes to the public meetings, like Ho'opili, oh, it's no problem, bruh. You can build houses, no problem. Abercrombie want to put 18 high towers in. No problem, bro. And when it is a big problem, because the Board of Water Supply has a responsibility to say, look, we have an aged, decrepit system that is not working. We need to take our monies and go back and building a system that's reliable. Stop causing the millions of dollars per day in water main breaks and traffic and impacts. That's the problem. See, Board of Water Supply wants to be this innocent little thing, dress it up and march it in, and then your actions are just as impactful by going in and agreeing with everything. At some point, someone needs to say, stop. We can't build anymore. The infrastructure won't support this. But we never hear that echoing from the halls of Boda Water Supply. We hear,
I'm telling you right now, just in looking at this, the service area, the area that we provide services, has really grown over the years since I left.
Well, that was my point, and it should be growing.
And what we do, and we do this, is as developments occur, we put the responsibility on them to improve the system or to pay into our funds to fund future improvements to help make up the capacity we utilize. I think what's missing in the future is the realization that there is a life cycle cost to the infrastructure, that paying for it up front, and this is a kind of a different concept. It's going to take more discussion, but we absorb the life cycle costs, and our customers have to pay for that life cycle cost. So It's the people that live in these areas that help to offset the cost to maintain the systems. But so I would encourage you, like the AMR system, looking at the upfront cost, but also looking at the life cycle cost and life cycle issues there. So thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Our service area has grown and will continue to grow. It's mm-hmm. actually infill development is actually a little easier to accommodate versus widespread development.
Well, there's so many, and I appreciate it. Let me just let
thank
the callers call. That better that you hear them than me. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. You have a comment, a question, real quick.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a private citizen that had the opportunity to go down the Halaba shaft in the early 90s. And I was able to see from that window that overlooks the end of the tunnel there, Mr. Lau, the dramatic loss of water, you know, the before and after and
right.
the periods of time of what it used to be and how far down it's gone. Now, you've been with the Board of Water Supply, you mentioned, for quite a long time now. And I wondered, is it worse now? I mean, I can only guess, but I thought I'd ask you directly. From the early 90s to what the level was, which was dramatically low,
yes,
can you address that, Mr. Lau?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Carla.
You're one of the fortunate few that have actually gone down to our lava shaft to go look at the actual top of the water table there
mm-hmm.
underground. From the time when the shaft was first dug in the 40s to the present, the water level has dropped down by a number of feet, actually,
mm-hmm.
in feet. One of the things that's happened, which was different from when I was with the Board of Water Supply from 1980 to 95, when I was there in 80 to 95, water use was actually on always the upswing, always increasing, projected to increase more to the point where we think we would have maxed out the supply. I think agriculture was still in operation on Oahu. There was still sugar, so a lot of ag water usage was still occurring. After I left the Board of Water Supply, something interesting happened to water demand, and I credit the efforts of our customers and the changes in the building codes and plumbing codes. Water use actually stabilized. So rather than the continued upward movement of the water usage, between 1980 and 2013, it grew by about 7 million gallons more a day island-wide. Right now, that is, I think, what is helping us maintain the capacity of our sources. We are monitoring our sources continuously, looking at the location of the transition between the freshwater and the saltwater on the lands below, underground. And we're monitoring the quality of the water that we're pumping from our sources. So it's something we have to watch very carefully. What's been very important for us is also the condition of our watershed. So a greater realization from my staff over the last few years of the importance of the watersheds. So we're in the process right now developing 8 watershed management plans. The watershed is really the source. The rainfall on our islands is the source of supply, but really the health and welfare of our watersheds determines how much water supply is available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we continue to invest there. And that's a long view because of climate change. We need to monitor this very closely.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the sustainable yield, I'm told from my staff, for the entire island of Oahu is about 407 million gallons a day. And we're between the Board of Water Supply and other users, the military, other uses of water, we're using about half of that amount. So it appears that we have a lot of water supply left to develop. But the reality is, some of those sources will become more expensive to develop,
mm-hmm.
the infrastructure to develop it. So at some point, we may have to look at alternative sources.
Like desal.
Desalination, encouraging more use of recycled water, treating wastewater as a resource as opposed to something you get rid of.
Yeah. Well, we're coming down to the last minute.
Yes, sir. I'm so glad that I had that opportunity because the Board of Water Supply people that I was with were, you know, just exactly what, almost word for word, what Mr. Lau was saying was educating us as, you know, as citizens and residents of how important, you know, maintaining that lens and the watersheds. I'm so glad, Mr. Lau, that I was able to call in and and get you to address that a little bit for the public's sake, since I can only imagine that no one except for official business people are allowed to go down there anymore.
No, thank you, sir. Maybe we need to look at if it's possible to restore the tours. We do have tours to Waihe'i Tunnel, where you can actually go into a tunnel into the mountain and see the water pouring out of the rock formations. And that helps supply a major supply of water for the windward side of Oahu.
That sounds refreshing.
Thank you, Carol.
Hey, thank you. Refreshing, but I think people would be equally refreshed if they heard that this estimate would be fixed. I mean, we can talk about the watershed. But you know what? I think also the practice of channelization. We're paving so much, and the volume, the replenishing, we will probably see more water. But everything runs off. It's channelized. We've cemented our rivers. There's no percolation or little percolation, or at least a large percentage of it is being diverted directly to the ocean. So when do we start to look at practices such as that border water supply? And if you're going to support Ho'opili and all of these other developments, try to incorporate or make suggestions to incorporate where there be percolation basins or something to replenish the aquifers. But right now it said, this is what we have, and we can keep selling houses, and we can keep bringing in military, we can keep doing this. Of course you're going to see a decline. And then global warming or climatic impacts is just not the only culprit here. It's the human aspects that we tend to run down the mighty dollar. We can make more money. We can, as a board of water supply, the city and county, we can have more money in our coffers for the sewer. We can meet our... It's that kind of tail that's wagging this dog, and the discussion about management of watersheds and all, I'd love to have you come back and we talk about that and sing kumbaya. But I know of several senior citizens that are deathly afraid. They're borrowing water from their neighbors because they've been impacted. So I don't want to see the tunnel. I want to see the tunnel of love. I want to see things work out. So the ratepayer is spared from this, and you it's in your hands now. I mean, we've had estimates too long, and we know that it was wrong. You have Susan Uesugi, who was present during the installation and the acquisition of the AMRs, and now she's the head of the customer care. Well, how many calls are you getting complaining? Oh, not very many. Well, of course, because you don't want it to reflect that it was she, a part of that crew, that installed all of this. So I ask you, as a courtesy, start cleaning house. I think that would resonate in the transparency. There's just too many old guards sitting there watching. You wouldn't hire a race car driver that has crashed every car for every team, right? And you're looking for one, you go and hire the one that has crashed in every race, would you? You wouldn't. So why keep her around or in that capacity? Yeah.
Thank you, Carol. I hold my staff accountable for what they should be doing on their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And as a manager, I have to go through a process with them. If it's a personnel matter, I can't really discuss this over the air. Because that's confidential. But I hold them accountable because we have a mission of providing that safe, affordable, reliable water service to our customers. So to answer your question on sustainability, yes, the developers will be held to sustainable practices.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to encourage Ho'opili. I know that to utilize recycled water for irrigation in the future when that becomes available as the Honouliuli wastewater treatment plant converts to secondary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that desal got some surprises for you. As you know, the paws that are in the water, you have injection wells out there in that area that need to be accounted for. So if you tap a well 300 to suck water out, just be reminded that there are disposal wells
are
sucking from the same level. And then the paws and the cane fields and all that. But anyway, we're coming down. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Anytime you'd like to come back, and Tracy, thank you.
Are we done?
We're done. You thought it, I told you, two hours.
2 hours went quite fast.
Well, thank you, listeners, and Mr. Lau from the book. Go ahead real quick.
I just want to thank our listeners for your patience. Again, please email Carol or contact us at hbws.org or come into our office or send us a letter if you can't get through on the phones. We take every complaint seriously and we follow up on it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you,
down.
Sir.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI.